When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How you doing? It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm the star of the show, Pete Donaldson, and my sidekick, Luke Moore, is with me wearing tan trousers.
I'm a supporting artist.
Do you remember when Barack Obama wore that tan suit and it was the most shocking thing anyone had
people
ever seen?
Absolutely lost their mind,
fucking minds. What? I'd give a left ball to be back at that point when that sort of thing was shocking.
The thing is, that is it wasn't that long ago, but it was when there was nothing else to talk about. It was only really the right-wing press doing it.
Yeah.
Fox News and all the rest of it talking about how it wasn't presidential for him to wear a tan suit. And you just think to yourself, yeah, look at the shit show now.
Oh, it is fun though, isn't it?
The president came out addressing reporters on Thursday and he was wearing this tan suit.
Ooh, what was that? I like that bit at the end. Yeah. Very enjoyable.
It's August 2014, apparently. Right, okay. Yeah. That. I mean, it's weird to think of a time where there was so little to talk about. Yeah. They have to kind of find angles. And I always say to my American family and friends, when the subject of Fox News comes up, and actually Fox News has taken a little bit of a sort of slight turn in under their new management. And I don't think they're quite, I think I'm right in saying, I've not been over there for a little while, but I think I'm right in saying that they've taken a little bit of a cooler stance on Trump recently.
I think there's definitely something in the water. Trump's certainly been very critical of Fox.
But there was talk that he's briefed like his closest advisors, saying we've got to find a new network here because they're not supporting me as well. Because he thinks Fox should be the propaganda wing of the White House, basically.
I mean, it is very much.
It has been that previously. It continues
to be with most of the hosts. But I think that's the big plan with Trump. I think Trump and I guess Bannon was obviously very much on that page.
What, to have a glorious defeat and then have his own network?
Yeah, to start the network, you know, the only place where you can be who you want to be, blah, 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 blah.
I agree with you. But I was just going to say, I was saying to if it ever comes up in conversation, I always say to my American family and friends that, like, you know, we don't have Fox here. I'm fairly certain Ofcom told said it couldn't be a news channel here. It's not impartial enough. And if they wanted to broadcast it, they'd have to broadcast it on an entertainment channel instead.
Right, okay.
And I think there was a bone of contention around that. So we don't actually get it here.
Mm. I thought we did have a Fox channel. I think we've got a Fox channel, but it's mainly just Family Guy and stuff, isn't it?
Dad. But that's Fox Entertainment. That's different. Mm. So Fox Sports is the same. I mean, we have NFL games from which is simulcast from Fox Sports here as well. Mm. We just don't have Fox News.
But I just always just presume,
because it's not
Fox
fucking news. That's why. It is not news. It's a load of stupid opinions from fucking idiots. That's why. Anyway, what was I going to say to you, Donny? Someone that took my eye this week, earlier this week.
Took my eye out.
Was an arrow. No, it was the World Stone Skimming Championships.
Ooh.
And it's one of these kind of British eccentric things, and I think when I've done Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport, they always get people involved who call in and do things like the World Pea Flicking Championships. And there's that old medieval game which takes over a whole village, and there's hundreds of people on each side with a big ball, and they have to try and get from one end of the village to the other. That kind of
cheese
stuff.
Cheese rolling.
Yeah, cheese rolling is another one. But up in Scotland, they do this thing called the World Stone Skimming Championships. Mm. And it takes place in this little island off the coast of the west coast of Scotland called Easdale.
Right.
The reason it caught my eye is because I've been to Easdale, right, and it's amazing. It is an amazing place, and it was historically, I think I'm right in saying it was built around the small sort of cottage industry of a slate mine, which then collapsed.
Great for skimming.
Quite. Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know if you can use slate for it. I think you've got to use stones. But anyway, and it collapsed. And so there's not that many people living there anymore, but it is beautiful. But what's happened is they do it on this steel pond in Easedale.
Mm.
And now, because old slate quarries that are filled with water are obviously perfectly still, right?
Yes.
So it's an easier way to skim so you don't get affected by the waves and all the rest of it. But now, apparently, it's become such a big... is that you making that noise?
No, it's I think it's somebody changing the water bottle
for
outside.
For goodness sake.
For goodness sake.
It's become such a big event now. People have travelled from all over the world that they can't find the slate quarries big enough.
Mm.
So people are complaining that actually... they need to take it somewhere else because there's not a big enough pond to contain all these massive stone skimmers. You bored by that?
I'm just confused.
Look, here's a picture. I'll show you. Here's a picture.
Because I saw a video of a guy skimming stones who was like the Japanese champion. Has he taken on these?
Look, it takes place here.
Mm.
Well, actually, this is not a really helpful video. I'll just get you a photo instead.
Get me a photo, Luke.
Get your photo instead, mate. It takes place there. See,
oh,
but the pond's not
okay.
Big, and it's not big. It's actually not big enough.
Can they make a tunnel underneath to the second lit? How much are they? Can they not go diagonally?
What I was thinking was, there houses there. I mean, it's quite a long.
Yeah, but you're not throwing them up in the air. If anything, if you're throwing a stone and it's hitting a window, you're a terrible stone skimmer.
Would you like to? Do you think you could find something that you could become a world champion at? However, weird
well, Gav from RKG, who we both know, is who's at Ramble Live on Thursday. He went to, I think it was Iceland or maybe Helsinki, and he tried to become the master at this kind of weird kind of, I can't remember, it's called like Peggle or something, not Peggle, but it's like a kind of board game, a little bit like Shuffle Puck, a little bit like air hockey.
Not Shove Halfpenny.
Say again?
Shove Halfpenny.
No, it's a new game by a board game company sort of thing. And he went to Helsinki. He trained to try and become a world master at this particular discipline. It's like Hockle or something. It's got a weird name. And he tried to do it over the course of a couple of months, try to learn to be as good as possible. And I won't tell you whether he managed it or not, but it's well worth a look at the video. I can't imagine being... I played the same level of a video game called Control on Friday for about 3 hours, and I couldn't get through it. And it was only a side quest. I didn't need to get through it, but I was like, no, I'm going to finish this.
You get principled, don't you? That's the thing.
I managed to get worse at it every time I played it, which isn't the way it should be. You should be getting better at it.
There's like a...
Definite, I don't have a fight in me.
There's definite element to these people where they invent these kind of weird things. And there was genuinely one, which I think was... a garden pea throwing competition, and it's done at some pub down in Lewes, I think, in Sussex. I think is it pea flicking? I think it would be pea flicking,
right?
But then the guy who invented it was just his mates after a piss up one, so they called it the World Championship, and then they started to hold it every year, and it got bigger.
Call it what it is,
yeah, a pee up. It got bigger and bigger every year, and people started to hear about it, and obviously then people came along who were much better at it. And then the original people get quite resentful about it and start inventing all these rules. So one of the rules, honestly, I promise this is true. There was a situation where after a certain amount of years, these guys came down and they were much better.
Yeah.
But it turned out they were using frozen peas.
Oh, right.
Of course, they've got more weight. So they go further. So they're like, you can't use frozen peas. And it just got worse and worse.
They've corked their pee.
But in the 70s, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. This might have passed you by. And I've got a little clip of it here.
Mm.
There was an amazing cricketer called Fred Truman, right? And he was a proud Yorkshireman. And he kind of had a... it was a bit before my time, but he kind of had a bit of a media career afterwards. And he was known as just being like the most... he's not the most Yorkshire man of all time, right? And he was just this brilliant cricketer, amazing bowler, took a load of wickets and for England and all the rest of it. In the 70s, they gave him this vehicle on like... you know when all the TV stations were kind of localised?
Mm.
So they gave him this vehicle on Yorkshire TV called the Indoor League, where he would basically present a show, pipe in hand, pint of mild.
Nice.
And he would go round and they would have bar billiards, shove halfpenny, darts.
Right, yeah.
And he would present the show and they would do an update on it every Friday or Saturday night on like Yorkshire TV. He is the most amazing presenter. Listen to how Yorkshire he is.
Who counts? He'll be counting down to 100 quid on the bus back to Durham. They'll be flowing up there now, I'll bet. Champs of five counties at Shove Halfpenny. Now, We've shown you a bit of nifty Skittles playing this time, but it's note to what you'll see next week, because Skittles players come in all ages and all have individual styles. Jim Porter of Doncaster is 75 and learnt to play in the trenches during the First World War.
He's basically introducing all these different things.
Nice.
One of the, it's all on YouTube. One of the clips, and if you're listening from the US, you probably can't understand a word he's saying there, but one of the clips, he introduces table football.
All right, okay.
And he says,
very modern.
There's these lads here. They claim to have never lost a game. And he goes over there and it shows them playing table football. And they're just these bearded, like long hair, like students. It's really, really funny. So there's a lot of obscure sports and pastimes out there.
Do you know what I wish we did in this country? You see it in the South, I think mainly in the US. The ring, it's a ring on a string. I don't know what they actually call the game. It's like a quite a discreet hook. In the corner of the room, and from the ceiling suspends a ring on a string, and you basically pull it back, release, and you've got to kind of land it into the ring. So it kind of floats over,
right.
And going back, it obviously drags behind it, and it needs to get hooked on the ring for you to win. Mm. It's like a ring toss, but it's on a string.
Yeah, I think you know what I mean?
So it swings up. Yeah. And there was a meme, or possibly a viral video, of a cat doing it. Cat was just grabbing all the string and just they let go. And it hooked on the thing. Yeah, it was
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
But I've done it a couple of times, and there's nothing more. Because it's quite a graceful kind of the arc of the string and the ring, and it hooks. And it's fantastic stuff. I wish we did that in the UK.
There's a big culture in certain parts of the United States in the South of frog jumping.
Right. What's
so
that?
It's just part of the folklore of communities, some communities down there. And you bring along a frog. And if your frog jumps the longest, you get a prize.
Right.
And Mike Calvin, I did a Ramble Meets with, he's a very storied and interesting football writer and chronicler, I suppose. A lot of his books were made into documentaries and stuff. And he came in for Ramble Meets. And he said for his first interview, for his first journalism job back in the 70s, they said, give me 600 words on frog jumping. Mm. Obviously, before the internet, before anything. Mm. He ended up ringing the US embassy, saying, I wonder if you can help me. I'm looking for someone who knows about frog jumping. He put him in touch with someone else. And he found someone like in the middle of nowhere in
Amazing.
The US and did the whole frog jumping thing. Yeah. But if you're listening to this and you've got a claim to fame around some obscure sport or pastime, you should get in touch. hello@lukeandpeacher.com. I'd love to hear from, you know, the Britain's best, you know,
Mugger-er.
ice lolly eating champion or something.
That's a real risk for brain freeze.
The first thing you
Constant
went for was buggering,
freeze.
And the first thing
buggering,
I went for was
it rhymed with Britain, didn't it?
Ice lolly.
Did you? When we were doing a ramble show last week, we were obviously the Portsmouth horse puncher era. And I googled horse punching, and did you see that?
It's not a championship, is it?
I hope not. And you know, this is going to upset a few people, but I mean, it's a little Pete show. You know what you're in for. It's a rather upsetting sport, but apparently, in parts of some South Asian country, I think it might be the Philippines. They do in very small, obscure kind of little towns. They do horse fighting. Two right. horses. They get a woman horse. Mare in heat, these two horses just fight and kick the shit out of each other. I've never seen anything like it. It's horrible.
Have you ever seen giraffes fighting?
Giraffes fight, yeah, they whack each other with their necks, don't they?
The head on the necks, yeah.
Imagine
it's
the
brutal.
Power I'd love to measure the power of
they've
that.
They've got horns on there,
yeah.
The pressure per square inch,
yeah, because yeah. they've got it's lengthy, and they've got a lot of weight behind it.
A lot of whip. It looks brutal. I've never seen it before.
Beautiful.
And it was on some David Attenborough documentary. Mm. On that measuring the power thing, there was obviously remember Ricky Hatton, who was a world championship boxer.
Mm.
I think light welter or welter, and he fought a guy called Costa Zoo. It's probably one of Hatton's, if not his best performance, certainly one of his best performances. And he famously kind of just crippled the guy with a body shot into the ribs. The guy, for a fraction of a second, left his ribs exposed and Hatton just munched him in the ribs. And that was it. It was game over. I think he retired on his stool at the end of the 10th round or something.
Jeez.
Anyway, someone was measuring just by the data, I think, I suppose, or by watching it or whatever, the pressure per square inch in that punch. And he was saying, like, for the surface area and for the power, it was like a sledgehammer. It was roughly equivalent to a sledgehammer.
Hatton's always
broke
there.
Like four of his ribs.
Hatton's always there in the ring because he's a coach now, isn't he? But he's always there in the ring when he when like old boxers are around. Like, he was spotted sparring with Frank Bruno, who's an incredible Nick for his age.
Yeah.
Nigel Benn as well is back for a fight, I think.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Was he 50 odd?
That's quite controversial, that. Yeah, Nigel Benn's back at 55. And I was speaking to Adam Catterall, who's a boxing expert, and he was saying that he's not actually bothered about Nigel Benn having a last dance, as he calls it, because he's, he's set of sound mind and body, he's in great shape, and if that's what he wants to do, that's fine. But the list of opponents that he wanted have all said no, and so now he's fighting this guy called Sakio Bika, who was like a world level fighter about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and he's a lot younger, so people I think are a bit scared for Nigel Benn's safety. He's one of those guys. He was always one of those guys who's a bit too brave for his own good.
Mm.
His son's a fighter now, a really well respected fighter.
I was reading about people sort of forget about Prince Nassim Hamed and how. He only lost once, didn't he? Like people kind of.
Yeah.
And also, didn't he win? He won a belt that he'd never fought at. I couldn't really figure that out. He fought, like, he got given a championship belt for a weight that he never actually fought at.
I didn't know that back in the day.
I don't really know how that happens. I looked at it and went, I'll store that in my brain and I won't even go that much further on it.
No, I have no idea about that. But I remember when he was beaten. Yeah, he got beaten at the end of his career. I think he had one comeback fight after that, but he was beaten at the end by Marco Antonio Barrera. But essentially, I think I'm right in saying that he didn't really take training very seriously.
Mm.
And I think towards the end of his career when he was massive. I mean, he believed his own hype quite a lot.
Big boy.
He was the, but the thing about him.
He's massive now.
Oh, yeah, he is, yeah. But back in the day, mate, he was unbelievably exciting. He was like a very rare sort of species of boxer where he was a genuine one punch knockout artist. It wouldn't be like it would be accumulation of fight punches and he would batter people into submission and stuff. I mean, he obviously could do that. But he had such power for his weight division. It was a knockout artist. If he hit you on the button, you were going to sleep.
Mm.
And that is what counts in boxing in terms of get putting
money,
bums on seats.
Yeah.
And with all the glamour around him as well. But I don't think...
The flip and the music, though.
There used to be this brilliant podcast. Oh, that was brilliant. There used to be this boxing podcast. Called, I think it's called Boxing Clever. I don't think it's around anymore. And one of the guys who were on that, he was saying that towards the end of his career, Hamed, he wasn't really even training.
Mm.
He was just doing his thing.
Mm.
And up against like a teak, tough, well-respected, world-level fighter like Barrera, this tough Mexican guy, he just got schooled, basically.
Right.
And after that, he didn't fancy after that.
Mm.
I just don't think he wanted to do it.
He'd made his money.
He certainly had, and he spent it.
I didn't know that, something I learned this week, seconds out means the people in the corner rather than the time.
Yeah, it's not the time. Yeah. Because you know that you know where that comes from? That comes from, I think I'm right in saying, back in the day when they used to have duels.
Right.
So what you would do, you would settle a debate or a dispute with a duel, where you'd walk 10 paces, turn and shoot.
Yeah.
And
you've got to be really into your fucking convictions to agree to a duel.
Well, it's how people who have seen the musical Hamilton, that's how Alexander Hamilton died. I mean, he never became president of the United States. I don't think he could have done anyway because I don't think he was born in the US. But anyway, he died quite a young man in a duel. But they used to, the way that it used to work is you would take issue with something and you would arrange a duel and then you have a second who would treat with the other guy's second to see if they could work it out. And if they couldn't, it would be seconds out and
then
you would fight.
The shooting.
You'd shoot. And the seconds are now called that in boxing as well. So when it says seconds out, round number 10, it means get the fuck out of the ring because we're getting it on again.
Because like, there's a very real chance you're going to die. Why would you not just draw early? Because you'd shoot him and you win and that guy would be dead or very damaged.
I think you'd be in big trouble for that. And I think a lot of them on principle used to shoot up in the air to show they were quicker. And they could have done it if they wanted, but they wouldn't shoot you.
I mean, that's risky as well, because if you shoot up in the air and you get shot anyway, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I think that might have happened to Alexander Hamilton's son, in fact.
Oh.
Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, let's have a little break, and then we'll do some emails.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
All right, then.
The problem appears...
Oh, I don't like that one. We did that last week.
Look at this! I'm a big terrorist with my cat!
From the same show where people get angry at Luton Airport, there was a French lady who'd brought a cat and she shouldn't have. Look at me, I am a big terrorist with a cat.
Why would you take a cat with you?
To see how big the plane is, swing it around.
Yeah. How big is a plane? You could literally swing a cat in there. I feel like it's sad when you have to do that, take cats like that, because they get so nervous. My cats don't like going in the car for 5 minutes.
No.
So I think there should be a humane way of travelling with them.
I don't understand why there's not a part of the plane where you can just stick all the animals and you can go and visit them.
Generally speaking, there aren't any animals, are there?
What do you mean? Well, they're all in the cargo hold, aren't they? Don't they get put in the pressurised cargo hold?
Do they?
Animals, yeah.
What, every flight?
Well... Some flights, so you can't, like, most places, most airlines insist that you put them in the cargo hold, but the cargo hold has to be pressurized because otherwise the animals do die.
Yeah.
The animals do die now.
They can't breathe.
They cannot breathe.
Yeah, in which case, that's two birds with one stone. Get the people who are nervous flyers in there and they can hang out with the cats.
Yeah, exactly. What if you're terribly allergic, though, and you're a nervous flyer?
But it's proven to relieve stress, isn't it, having a pet and stuff?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Stick insects.
You should try it, mate. Yeah, you should try it. Hello at lukeandpeach.com is the email address to get in touch with us. Pete, have you got an email there?
I was actually, before we get emails, I was watching a video about a pilot for, I think, Delta, who flew from Vietnam into the US to bring back his deceased father. His deceased father had flown in Vietnam and got shot down.
Right.
Crashed, died, and his body's been buried on Vietnamese soil ever since. And this pilot on a commercial flight flew his dad's body back 50 years after the event or something. Landed and...
So you got all the relevant permissions to get him to be buried back in the US.
Yeah, exactly. So, and...
amazing they knew where he was.
Oh, mate. Watching that video, the pilot kind of... telling the passengers on the... I'm not really sure why they told the passengers, but because if there is a body on... In most flights, there'll be a body, won't there?
Don't know.
Again, that they don't need the pressure. They don't need the pressure, it's fine.
In your mind, there's 400 animals and a dead body on every flight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As there should be. And this pilot was describing that he's flown his father back, and then the co-pilot obviously told the people about what this flight has meant to the pilot and stuff. And I was like, in fucking tears. I was like, oh, I was gone.
You're hungover.
Yes, yeah. I was. Most Adam of. Has come in with an email. Thank you, Adam. really? I don't believe this for a second. Hi, guys. But why should that stop you emailing in and us reading out?
It shouldn't.
I thought I'd share a somewhat unusual story with you I heard a few years ago about my sister's friend at university. Never happened. She had been suffering...
Oh, don't read this out. This is bullshit. This is one of the worst apocryphal myths ever.
Well, let's read it out anyway.
No, it's rubbish.
What do you mean?
All right, read it out, but it's bollocks.
Do you just want truth on this podcast? Because we've read out some absolute bollocks.
I want something that I can at least have a semblance of an idea that might be truth in some way.
She had been suffering from a sore throat, so decided to make a trip to the doctor. Upon inspection, the doctor noticed some unusual swelling in the back of her mouth. A sample was taken to run some tests to see what kind of bacterial infection had invaded the poor girl's mouth. Returning home with some antibiotics, she thought nothing more of it until she received a phone call asking her to come into the doctor's surgery immediately. Upon her arrival, she was shocked to be greeted not only by the doctor, but also a team of police officers. This shock was nothing compared to her reaction when told that they had been called because traces of human flesh had been found in her mouth. During questioning at the police station, they asked whether she had travelled anywhere unusual recently. It had turned out she'd just visited Budapest, and while on a night out, kissed a man at a local nightclub, which immediately aroused suspicions. After contacting Hungarian police to try and track down the said man, it turned out he had just been arrested and charged with murder. Essentially, he had killed several people and eaten some of the remains of raw. When kissing the girl in the nightclub, some of the traces of raw human flesh had been transferred to her mouth, causing the infection. I've tried to find a link to the article of his arrest. However, I've been unable to thus far. That's a surprise, isn't it?
Strange, that.
Perhaps cannibalism isn't newsworthy in Hungary. However, the story is completely genuine and remains one of the maddest things I've ever heard.
Right.
Adam in London. He enjoyed the ramble live last night, he said. So be careful. Temper your attitude.
No, you don't have to, because I mean, he's not, almost certainly not coming back. So.
All right, okay.
I have a lot of problems with this story.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
One that springs to mind instantly
right.
is... She had been kissing a random guy in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. They just found him.
Yeah.
Just found him.
Found the random man.
Just found him, yeah. No problem. Yeah. What, a bloke that you kissed? Yeah, I'll find him.
Well, no. They probably went, has any body in Hungary been arrested for cannibalism?
They didn't do any of that because none of it fucking happened. Didn't do any of it.
No.
Why do people make up these things, Pete?
What do you mean? Well, I'm not saying Adam made up
No, I'm not either. He's just been told it, I expect. Yeah. I'm not shooting the messenger. Mm. But it's like the one where the guy says, what's the one where the woman goes back to a guy's house? And she goes to the toilet and she ends up going for a shit, but the toilet's not working or something.
I'd say that's more believable.
So the guy says, I'll let yourself out when you leave. But she can't go to it for a shit, so she puts it in a plastic bag and she means to take it with her, but she forgets and leaves it on the side, but then she locks herself out and so she's left a turd in the room.
Right, yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Bollocks. Yeah. Probably happened once originally.
Well, then the story works then, surely.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the story that actual thing happened. This didn't happen because what you do as a doctor, you take the biopsy, you take the thing, and then you run a test for human flesh. Bearing in mind, you already assume there's human flesh in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Very weird.
What we should do is every show, Pete, we should do the emails as we normally do, and we should do a made-up one, and people should try and be able to guess which one it is next time.
It will be increasingly difficult.
Thanks for getting in touch anyway, Adam. It's not your fault.
You got so angry at the start of that. I don't want to read this because out. This isn't true.
Do you know why?
I can't Google it on my internet.
Because last night I was tired.
Right.
And
this morning you're tired.
I am.
In a right old grumble.
Grouchy. I was going through my prep for the shows this week, and I read that and I thought, you know what, that's just wasted fucking 5 minutes of my life. I'm never going to get back. Anyway, Claude, Pilot Claude has been in touch.
Pilot Claude, je regarde le flying bird. Je...
D'accord.
Flying.
Je regarde le grand hélicoptère. he says, hi guys, it's a lesser known Pilot Claude.
Oh.
I think his name, his full name might be Claudio. So maybe he's actually Italian.
I'm up in the Claudios.
Yeah. Is that offensive? Probably not.
Not it, Claudio.
No. Oh, Pete, sorry, he's actually from Jamaica.
Well, that doesn't reference, there's nothing Jamaican related in the sky, is there? Claudio. It works.
Yeah,
I've got nothing for...
Pilot Claude said he just quickly thought he'd clear up the mobile phone on a plane issue.
Okay, good.
Pete was right about the rules stemming from worried airlines about mobile phone technology interfering with their radio/ATC communication. Think a phone receiving a text next to an old amp, hi-fi kind of thing. Don't know the technicalities as to how this would have happened. As time has gone on, though, the realistic isn't a problem anymore for us. The rule could probably be scrapped, although the airlines now like it, as it should mean that more people pay attention to the safety briefing.
Mm.
Safety briefing is, of course, a crucial legal requirement and covers the airline's ass to a degree if something bad was to happen. I hope it clears it up. I've got a few other interesting stories that I'll get in touch with again when the time is right. All right, Claude. Mysterious. I think he's deep throat in X-Files. You'll hear from me when you need to hear from me.
Hmm.
Just don't email us about some cannibal.
Deep throat. That's where they found the flesh, guys.
It is.
So, I mean, it's rare that you read out an email that basically fortifies my opinion.
Yeah.
Backs me up.
I'm probably going to get pelters about my dueling knowledge early because all my knowledge comes from just watching Hamilton. So it's probably all wrong anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You got another one there, mate?
My internet's gone down.
Oh, will
you? I'll level with you, mate. My internet's gone on my tiny laptop, my tiny baby laptop.
I've got another one here anyway.
Okay, then.
Hang on a sec. I'm just writing that down. This is from Tom in Cheshire. Says, I'm a few episodes behind, so sorry if you've covered this ground already, but you've been talking about songs with the same titles.
Okay.
A pub quiz question I remember from about 10 years ago was that The Power of Love has been number one 3 times, each time a different song. He said, but who were the 3 different artists? Well, at the time, the answer was Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Huey Lewis and the News, and the one that everyone would probably struggle with, Jennifer Rush. I know Jennifer Rush's one. I am your lady and you are my man.
Oh, banger.
Yeah.
Proper Celine Dion vibe.
He says, not necessarily, massively. He says, not necessarily the best songs with the same title, but definitely chart toppers. The Frankie Goes to Hollywood version may well have been number one again since then, but the breathy piano version of the John Lewis advert might have taken it there. He said, I don't know if any other title can boast as many number ones. If you can think of a title of a song that's got more number ones than that, then let us know. Mm. I think Frankie Goes to Hollywood, The Power of Love, has been number one more than once, and I'm going to check.
I think it has as well, you know.
Mm.
Quite recently.
I'm just checking, Pete, so you want to just do your thing.
All right, then. Do you want another email?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, let's back up. Hello to Richard Ashfield. I came across this one in a bar in Ocean Beach, California. It tells a story of what I think may be an original, non-technological viral takeoff. And it's basically this piece about the beautiful mystery of Gary Karp.
Gary Karp. Right.
Basically, there is a person who found a glorious headshot of what was presumably an actor in a dumpster behind someone's house, I think. And this guy's name is Gary Karp, but this is his face. How would you describe that look?
Androgynous, I'd
androgynous, say. Kind of big eyebrows, a lot of very dense hair, bit of a mullet, and he's clearly an actor. This basically viral movement in the, sort of late 90s, it kicked off with people printing out pictures of Gary Karp and people traveling all around the world putting pictures of Gary Karp. There's a picture of him nailed to a tree next
to Chichen Itza there.
Yeah.
How did that happen though, Pete? Because people wouldn't know who he was, would they?
What do you mean, as in?
So how do they replicate it?
Well, I guess in the early, I don't know how it went around, but friends gave copies of it to friends and people would copy, and it just found its way all around the world, pictures of Gary Karp. And I think they found the guy in the end and basically
caught him.
Pete, around 2000.
They caught him.
Yeah.
I mean, the scale of that is quite large, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You finished? You are tired. Around 2000 or 2001, the real Gary Karp finally caught wind of what was going on. His wife at the time freaked out and called a detective. Oh, dear. To be honest with you, I wondered if there was a way to profit off it. I don't know if there's any way to do that. It's just kind of a joke more than anything. So there we go.
It'd be annoying to be a subject of that and not be able to benefit from it in any meaningful way.
The Gary Karp movement hit its peak in 2004 with the 10-year Gary retrospective, aka the TYGR. The kid out of the Nirvana picture tried to sue Nirvana for money, which I found very
funny. To be fair, they put his little winky up there.
Well, I mean, the father and the mother were given money for it.
They sanctioned it.
The second sanctioned it.
I can confirm that Frankie Goes to Hollywood's The Power of Love went to number one when it was released in the sort of early to mid 80s. And then it reissued and recharted to hit the number 10 in 1993 and then number 6 in 2000. A cover version by Gabrielle Aplin went to number one in the UK exactly 28 years after the original single.
So that sounds like an X Factor person.
I think it was the advert. I think it was the John Lewis advert, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can't confirm or deny that, but that's the chart history, the potted chart history of The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
A force from above.
Cleaning my soul.
Good song. Excellent
Make
song.
Love your goal.
Is that how we're going to end the show? You can't be non-verbal.
Just shrugging. Can't be non-verbal. No one ever says that to me.
For crying out loud.
Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you if you've got anything on the subjects we've discussed or anything different or perhaps an apocryphal tale you want to try and convince us is true.
Or maybe you want to take a picture of some KFC gravy. Because I'd not seen the picture of the guts and the glory of what was At the bottom of the tray that was sent in by that gentleman last week, or rather Monday.
Send that in if you
I've
want
now
as well.
Seen it. I've now seen it. It's yeah, I've kind of changed my opinion on that, to be honest. It looks pretty rough.
Yeah. Not the worst thing you've eaten this week though, Pete.
No, God no.
We'll see you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Come see us live, ramblelive.com. You won't regret it. It's lots of fun. We'll see you soon.
Bye bye now.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.